Crash. I want a laptop battery because I don't know how to plug things in the jungle.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And we're back. We had a week hiatus. I actually, I don't know if you listened last week, I brought back from the archive, I brought like the third episode of season three out with Will North. It was pretty good. I miss my co-host, but I like my co-host now too. So it's awesome. What have you been doing? You were sick, right?
I was sick for a while. Played some Crash Bandicoot while I was sick.
Yeah, that's the best. One of the best games ever to play.
Yeah, totally. I drank some NyQuil.
I played some Siphon Filter. Remember Siphon Filter?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some awesome Siphon Filter 1 off of PSN. We're going to get to Crash Bandicoot a little bit later because that's our retro game of the week.
I wonder why.
But, we actually played it. I'm not going to lie. I was playing a lot of Marathon, actually. I've beaten almost...
You're still playing Marathon?
I've beaten almost all three of the games. Like, I've beaten them before, but I can't believe that I haven't played these games since I was a kid, because the story is just so awesome and the games are legitimately fun. Like I don't feel that they've aged as poorly as maybe I'll have to play Doom and a few of these other games like in the basic engine, Duke Nukem 3D as well. But I really like that style of game.
Yeah, it's just the turning 3D sprite or 2D sprites still make me nauseous.
That is a good point. I realize though, it doesn't bother me so much, but it really bothers me with the HD textures. When you play it in software mode, it does the regular SD textures, and it was really, really bad. And I am working on a video kind of compilation for it. But on top of all that, we didn't say it last time, and I can't believe I missed it. They have it for iOS. You can actually play Marathon on your iPad or your iPhone.
Can you play it on a toaster?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if you hold your iPhone toward the toaster. But you can play with touch controls. The touch controls are iffy. I imagine it would be way better with a gamepad. But you can play all of them. I think they're free. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah, I think they're all free.
They're for free. I've recently been playing... I mean, it's like a giant quest to play all the Mass Effect games again. I'm on 2.
You're on 2? That's a good one.
I think 2 is the Empire Strikes Back version of
Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it. I think it has awesome characters. And I'm about halfway through. I'm right at the part where I just went to Horizon. And,
spoilers, man.
Yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
And Ashley, because I killed Alinko. Ashley,
yeah, who wouldn't?
Ashley, yeah, I know, right? I'm playing through as the girl this time, though. Like, I played through as Dude Shep.
Oh, do tell us more.
Oh, yeah. I'm playing through as Fem Shep, and everything's sort of, it seems like it's different, but maybe that's because I'm being very gender biased, and I'm just perceiving everything as being different. I'm not sure.
Including your sexuality.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they say the same things to the Dude Shep, and...
I don't know. I haven't actually played as Fem Shep.
Because you played as Bear Shepherd.
Yeah.
And I remember playing through the first time. I was like, you are the biggest awesome dude in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And
renegade all the way, son.
Even if you were going full Paragon, like you're still this god among men, you know.
And then
when you're Fem Shep, you just come off as like, you know, sister trying to prove something. And I'm thinking like, if they intentionally made it so that there's obviously...
Is that
this,
because you're sexist, man?
No. That's the thing. If they made this game so that it feels sexist when you play it, like they made a point to make her feel as feminist as possible, I feel. Like,
did they really?
The dialogue, the way things happen, though you can choose it. I don't always go for the... what is it, like the romance options? I try not to go for the romance options, especially when there's a galaxy to save, you know?
Please, get that out of here.
Miranda's like, Shepard, I'm so happy you helped me with my sister. Yeah, you know?
Look
and
at my soccer ball butt.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I didn't realize it at first. While we're on Miranda, I don't want to cut this character
She's
down.
Wearing a freaking soccer ball.
She's wearing soccer balls in several places. And on top of that, her face, they did not do a good motion capture thing of her face.
No, not
Because the shadows in this game, the dynamic shadows, they work well on pretty much everyone's face except hers. There's like this super mega uncanny valley. I mean, like, it's scary how bad it is. Anyway, I'm playing Mass Effect 2.
Get your Mass Effect on.
I just got Thane Krios from the big...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Thane's so awesome. It's like one of those best-looking models, too. Like the model for
and
that.
He has such a good backstory.
I'm playing with the HD mod to where you have... It, like, makes the game load 20 minutes of load at the beginning, and then you jump into the game. But it looks so much better. I can't wait to get.
It already looked good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't wait to get to Mass Effect 3 though with like an HD mod to put even more It's like HHD.
HHD.
Super HD. Anyway, I'm rambling.
That's like a hard drive.
Yeah, yeah, it is. We're gonna go to Crash Bandicoot. We're actually gonna cover Crash Bandicoot sort of as a series, but we're gonna talk about Crash 1.
Because it's the same game repeatedly.
It is. It is. It originally came out in 1996. By Naughty Dog. Now, Naughty Dog has done a lot of other stuff. Naughty Dog did Last of Us most recently.
Right. Uncharted. And everyone loved Last of Us. That story.
I think, you know, Naughty Dog's been really, really good. And man. I don't think they've really released a really bad game. I've only ever seen them release mediocre games, like, or at worst, mediocre games, like Crash Team Racing.
They needed a racer.
Right, and Crash 3 or Crash Warped or whatever. You know, those are just, you're in a series. I feel that back then on PlayStation 1, there was only so much that you can actually push. There was only so much story. There was only so much of a game that you could produce because of the lack of technology.
Yeah, and it had to fit on a CD.
Right, right. And even with PlayStation 2, still
lacking. With all the awesome sounds.
Yeah, the same.
Suck it in 64.
Crash 1 actually did a lot of really crazy stuff. Like it pioneered a lot. It came out in 1996. It was developed by only a few people. Like there was a handful of people that were developing it. It actually it changed how data was stored on the drive for the game. There were special game development. Like patterns that were used to build Crash Bandicoot. Not that anyone cares about that. Like, you know, but.
Oh, we're swinging back to the nerd side.
Yeah. We don't want to go too far, but yeah, Crash Bandicoot, fantastic. Obviously.
Basically, it's PlayStation's answer to Mario, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Crash Bandicoot was the role
more
model.
Awesomer.
He was
version.
The mascot for a while.
Yeah. Whatever happened? I don't think he's on the new gens or anything.
He isn't yet. They lost him to Nintendo. Nintendo has, like, Crash in.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
didn't know that.
I believe there's a game out there with Crash Bandicoot that
Nintendo has?
Yeah, I think that they have it.
I can tell you how to save your company, Nintendo.
It's I think it's like Crash Nitro Kart for like the 3D or
Man,
the 3DS or whatever.
Nitro, the freaking Nitro boxes. I hate that crap.
Yeah, so
hate Nitro
the,
boxes.
The general idea of Crash Bandicoot is it was this 3D platformer.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was third person behind you. Sometimes it was third person kind of side
looking backwards at you. Also, when you're being chased
by
things.
Yeah, and this was
completely
something
threw me off.
This was something that wasn't really done. Like, you know, you think Temple Run is like boilerplate now. Before, it wasn't really like that. Like, there were very few games that did things like that. Changing perspectives, having. Everything in the game 3D
rendered. Even using the perspective as part of the gameplay. Like I said, in the very beginning in Crash 2, I think it's the second warp room, you're faced with the snowball like Indiana
and
Jones.
And you have to run away.
And you're running away from it, so Crash is actually running at the camera, and
right.
You only get a little like second to react to things.
You can't see what's coming up.
Yeah, and you have no idea what's coming at you.
They've done that in Uncharted. They've refined that, where I think there's this truck running after you, and there's a truck in an alley, and you're running, and you're trying to dodge, and you know you can see the evolution very, very distinctly. You can see the evolution of that mechanic in a ton of other games too, but I have fond memories of Crash Bandicoot.
I got Crash Bandicoot 2 with my PlayStation 1.
Awesome.
Like the same day, and it's the only game I could afford.
It's, you know what, you didn't waste your time, you didn't waste your money.
It was great.
I feel that Crash Bandicoot, it had a decent story that was easy to get into. The gameplay was pretty revolutionary at the time. And, you know, it's on the PlayStation Network. If you have a PS2, I'm sorry, a PS3, or if you have a PlayStation.
They're numbered, Matt.
Yeah.
It's
1, 2, 3. The third one, I think.
4.
No backwards compatibility yet.
Nah.
Though there is some stuff at CES that we will talk about later. You know, if you have a PlayStation that's capable of playing it, find it on eBay, find it at a thrift store or a third-party game store, or buy it for, I think, $3 on PSN. It's well worth your money, well worth your time.
Or if you have your PlayStation 1, just throw it back in.
Yeah, you may have to.
Get it back out of storage.
If you have it. If not, go and buy one. But,
totally worth it, by the way. And it's worth it alone to play it on the original PlayStation just for the startup sound.
Yeah.
Sony, oh my God.
It's again, we may do a console nostalgia minicaster podcast. it's something that, you know, and again, I feel like on Experience Points, we do a lot of this where we talk about really old games. We talk about games that are, and PS1's not that old.
Because we're really old, Matt.
Maybe. But I don't want to be that person like, well, back in my day, whenever you had the old arcade machines.
3D scrollers were new, and right. You ran at the camera, and it's crazy.
You know, so when you talk about 3D as being like Star Fox for the Super Nintendo, you know you're old. But I feel like, you know, we don't want to say that just old games are cool. You know, there are a lot of new games. There are a lot of older games that are really cool. But definitely Crash Bandicoot is one of them.
You mentioned the storyline there. So that's one thing that always concerned me about Crash Bandicoot 2. I never understood
why did
Crash even bother helping at all. I mean, he was just going to get a laptop battery, I think, for his, like, is that her sister, I think?
I think it's his girlfriend.
Is it girlfriend,
yeah,
sister,
I think,
or something?
I think it's his girlfriend.
Lady in his life. And she's like, hey, Crash, I want a laptop battery because I don't know how to plug things in the jungle. Then he gets warped and helps Cortex.
For the people out there that care about the crazy programming that went into this, this was written in a game object-oriented version of Lisp.
Wow.
And
this game is suddenly way better.
It's game-oriented object Lisp, and then Crash 2 came out, and it was game-oriented object Lisp 2.
Game-oriented
Game-oriented object Lisp 2. Pretty crazy. I would recommend,
what?
You know, looking up a lot of looking up the Wikipedia article, because there is some pretty interesting development history, and we'll try to push that in there to in the post on the site, of which we didn't say anything about the site. Red Bear, what's the site?
The site. Oh, we have a site.
We do have a site.
EXPPoints.com.
That's two P's.
Always double tap.
We also have a Facebook site, our Facebook page, facebook.com/experiencepoints. We're updating a ton. We're getting new hardware. We are doing video stuff.
Man, I'm on the YouTubes.
You're on the YouTubes. I'm on the YouTubes. We both have microphones now.
Yeah.
We are doing some really awesome stuff. We've got affiliates. Go ahead and check it out. We got audible.com doing our affiliates. So if you want free audiobooks or a free audiobook when you sign up for a trial, go to Experience Points, expppoints.com, check on the affiliate link at the top, and click on the audible.com banner. Also, Usenet Junction, if you want to get affordable Usenet hosting and connectivity to download media and stuff like that, use through newsgroups, you can click there. Usenet Junction is on expppoints.com/, I think it's affiliates, but just go to the main navigations. I think
you'll find it.
Just find
there.
It. Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere.
We totally planned the site. It's really well laid out. You'll find it.
We're going to cut to a song, but before we do that, I feel like there's some explanations. We're going to play a Jonathan Colton song. It's acoustic off of his Code Monkey comic book that he released an acoustic album based off of all the characters in the Code Monkey comic that he is helping Greg Pak write, or he's written with Greg Pak. It was a Kickstarter a while back. I know I've talked about it on a few other shows, but this comic book is so good. It's on Comixology. I'll try to post links on the show note post, but try and, I mean, like, there's like $5. Per comic. That's
it.
That's a normal thing.
That's your Starbucks coffee.
It's awesome. I have like a graphic novel version of it coming.
That's a comic book, kids.
That's like a bunch of comics
for
together.
Nerds call it a graphic novel.
Instead of getting like all four or five volumes, you just get one, and it's all of
one
them.
Big comic. They glued them all together.
It's nicer. There's like, they sign it. But this is
he's so excited right now. He's like a little giddy girl.
I am. No, I really am, because okay. I don't have a problem with Kickstarter. I like Kickstarter because I typically like.
I'm
back
still
things.
Waiting on Double Fine Adventure.
Well,
Clicking Point.
Yeah, that's a problem I was going to bring up. It's not all the time that you get what you are promised on Kickstarter, because you're not buying a product. You're buying the idea of a product, and sometimes that's really hard for people to understand. Kickstarter is just an idea base. You buy the idea. If it works, you get the thing. If it doesn't, you wasted your money. But you're buying the idea. This is actually being delivered. Like, I'm reading it and I'm seeing it, and it's really awesome. But we're gonna play Code Monkey by Jonathan Colton. This is the special acoustic version.
Oh, it's acoustic version.
Yeah, this is a special. We're really
in for a treat.
We're refined.
Now.
I think we're classy.
Yes.
We're gonna sit back and think about how awesome we are and how cool the show is. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee, and Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, like you.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm still MG.
And I'm still Red Bear.
And that was Jonathan Colton with his acoustic version of Code Monkey from the Code Monkey, I guess, comic thing. Just, you know, Google Code Monkey comic and you'll find all of it. And you could still, you know, you can get the comic from Comixology. We will have links in the show notes in the description. Today, right now, after that, we are going to talk about CES. We didn't get to talk about it last week because we weren't here, but CES wrapped up a little over a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Lots of really cool stuff. That's the Consumer Electronics Show, for people that don't know what acronyms are. Lots of really cool stuff comes out of CES, just like Tokyo Game Show or E3 or Apple's WWDC. CES is...
correct me if I'm wrong, I think CES is one of the longest running shows like this.
I believe so, yeah.
At least in
correct.
The U.S.
That sounds correct. They always
Apple got their start there.
They always do really cool stuff. Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about some of our top 10 stuff that we kind of found and scoured the internet for. I followed the live Twitter, again, because I have really shoddy internet and slow internet. I couldn't watch
a live video stream.
Well, live streams are hard sometimes.
You don't have internet.
On the video front, we've got Sony's 4K ultra short throw projector, which is crazy. You can get a 147-inch 4K screen, which isn't technically 4K, but you know it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that annoys me.
I mean, it's one of the really really cool things about this technology is that it sits on the floor. It's very very small. It looks like almost like an air conditioner, like a really small air conditioner.
It does. It looks like an air conditioner made by that Nest company.
Yeah, yeah. Which is now acquired by Google.
Yeah, I saw that.
For anyone that cares. They've got these crazy Nest fire alarms now.
I want those so bad.
You walk in, and when it sees motion, it lights up. So it's like a nightlight that manages your motion. It's really neat.
And you can just wave at it when there's not a real fire going on.
Right, right.
It's like
Nest, your friend. This short throw projector, it sits on the floor. It's very, very small. It looks like it sits about a foot deep off of the wall and throws the picture straight up and gives you a 4K resolution up to 147-inch 4K screen in the home. Now, I can't imagine that this is cheap.
Oh, I'm sure it's not, especially if it came from Sony.
It's affordable for people that have tons of money. If you have tons of money, you can donate to the show. Please go to exppoints.com. So there's a big donate button. But
if you're driving a Maserati, it's probably nothing.
Yeah. However, for the more economically inclined, I mean, this is the same 4K mentality, Vizio, which I like Vizio TVs.
Vizio has actually done a really good job of coming from that crappy company that no one wanted to making a good name for themselves.
To now, which is... really, really awesome. It's a nice, clean set. It is a 4K 50-inch television by Vizio for $1,000.
So you keep bringing up all these 4K TVs. Matt, why are you so interested in 4K? You're going to watch the one demo disc over and over.
That is
content.
True. You know, I'm looking for a new TV, but at the same time, it's only a 50-inch TV. 4K, there's two problems with this, and I'll let you take the second one. But the first problem is that 50 inches, you have to sit really close to see 4K. There's too many pixels, you won't see it. But there's another big problem.
Think you can see between the pixels?
Yeah, like you really can't. Not from that far away. It'll look just as good as like a 50K or a 50-inch LED. LED LCD. But another big problem is that it's in 4K, right?
Yeah.
And
because what are you going to watch on it?
I mean, I think Blu-rays as a medium can have the data. And certainly you can download something and push it out in a 4K. Computers have been doing more than 1080p long time. But
again, where are you going to get your media, man?
We're not. Well, that's the thing. I don't have any 4K media. And I'm not even
And you're
sure
not streaming it to your house with that Redbox or whatever.
No.
Redbox, but...
Whatever, Slingbox or whatever.
There's a company out there that's streaming 4K, and they've streamed like two videos.
Yeah. Even then, they're not releasing any Blu-rays that are 4K yet.
No.
Honestly, it's like...
So you're going to have a 1080p stretched image.
Right, right. And
it's going to look terrible on your 4K TV.
Well, so when you think about that, I used to think that DVDs were just really bad quality. But then I realized it was just the set I was looking at. I put a DVD using composite video cables, which is only 480p. I put that into a good TV, and all of a sudden it looks pretty decent. Like, I'm sorry that it was looking so bad on the bad set.
Well, the big thing with that, like, the pictures, or whatever, it's okay, but audio really changes when you switch over to Blu-ray.
Yes. Even though, consider this, PS3, Blu-ray player, DVD player, HDMI. pretty awesome. I hooked it up. It's a full digital signal now. The quality of the DVDs that I was watching, the same DVDs, so much better because of the player, because of the HDMI signal, because of everything. So if that is SD content, and then you get Blu-rays with HD content, and they fill in the pixels, you know, it's still a 1080p image that they're just cutting the pixels out and making it the same size. I feel like this 50-inch TV will... It'll faithfully reproduce a 1080p signal very nicely. I feel like it won't look like 4K, but it won't look like not 1080p.
Right.
I don't expect upscaling. Upscaling doesn't work like that. if you're wondering. It kind of like it brings up another kind of similar point is that we're in the next gen of televisions. We recently got in the next gen of consoles.
Booth without content.
It's kind of the same thing. Like I see like the cool thing was like Doki Doki Universe, which it works on the Vita, it works on like your browser, it works on the PlayStation 2 or the 3, and it works on the PSN, and it has a PS4 counterpart.
Coming soon to a toaster near you.
I really feel like I could practically play it on the Blue Snowball microphone.
Let's try that.
There's a difference between having content and having the next gen content, and having a first person shooter with nicer textures, that's not next gen. It just looks really nice. And it's not even any better than PC has been getting for a long time.
Well, no, that's the problem you always come up with in that discussion about PC gaming master race.
I guess, but whenever you have Skyrim, something a game that looked really, really good, but I wouldn't say...
To start with.
And then you can just put mods on it. You can change out the textures. You can do this. I mentioned about Mass Effect 2 using the HD mod. Whenever you can take a game that looked pretty good and make it even better... using just a texture change,
that's all it really is.
Well, that's what they're doing with Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider 2014. Mm-hmm. They're coming out with Tomb Raider the Definitive Edition, and they're just swapping out textures. Anyway, getting off topic. CES.
Stay on topic.
I like the Pebble Watch. I kickstarted it.
You
a
have
while
a Pebble.
Back. Yeah, I'm not wearing it, but it's dead. I didn't charge it.
You jerk.
Pebble came out with something at CES. It's a watch. It's a watch, and it's the same watch, really.
It is.
But they put it in like an awesome like suit. They put it in an awesome
exactly.
case.
Well, I mean, you can wear it with your suit and not look silly.
It's not plastic.
Nope, it's made of metal,
it's made
guys.
Made of metal, and it is awesome. Again, I feel like
are you buying one now?
No, they're you're first off they're sold, like they're sold style. Out. It's $250 for the it's called the Pebble Steel. I don't have a need for it. I have a nice analog watch that I'll wear if I want to get dressy. It doesn't matter.
But you're not going to get push notifications.
No, but I feel like if I'm wearing slacks, then I probably am too uncomfortable to care about, you know. Like I'm not comfortable in dressy clothes. I'm just not. I'll wear like a button-up, sure. I'll wear like a collared shirt, but I'm not a very dressy person. Up next is the Razer's answer to like – it looks a lot like Thermaltake's Level 10. Look,
that is exactly what I thought when I saw this.
It's the
like,
Christine.
Didn't Thermaltake do this years ago?
They did, but it allowed you to put your peripherals, like a CD drive or a...
Yeah, it isolated things.
Right,
it
right.
Did.
It moved things around, but everything was still like it was an old motherboard.
Right.
The Razer Christine is not like that. All of these parts are from Razer, and it may be really, really good.
The idea is it's a modular PC that you just buy, like, I want another processor, bloop, blop, and it's in.
Now, IBM did this a while back, but it was like for server hardware. Like, you could buy another machine that had... 8 processors in it, and then you essentially clamp this big, like, fake system bus on the front and the back, and it would connect all these processors. And instead of having 4 machines, you would have one big machine with 64 processors.
Yeah, so why not? But, I mean, I don't see this taking off, because PCs are becoming a more and more niche product, and the people doing this are back to being the hackers and the people in the garage.
Yeah.
It's not the average consumer going out and buying these
PCs. I don't think it's
going
to catch on. And honestly, I would hate for it to catch on, because I like modularity. Modularity is good. And we have that. We have that with SATA.
I like standards. That's what I want.
Right. Well, I feel like that's what modularity sort of is, like a SATA interface or an IDE interface if you still use that. Or, you know, those are standards, but this could be a new standard. Not that we want it to be. I feel that EVGA does a very – or I'm sorry, Razer, excuse me. Razer does a very good job of creating hardware as peripherals.
Yes,
you know,
yes, they do.
Didn't Razer do the Shield, the NVIDIA Shield?
Yeah, they did the Shield.
I know, that was NVIDIA.
I'm sorry, we both just completely lied. That was NVIDIA.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that was NVIDIA, the NVIDIA Shield. I feel like that's That's something like I want to see the innovation like that. I don't want to take something that we currently have that's working very well. Like if you want a new video card, you just buy a video card and throw it in your system, and there it goes. It works. It's going to have the same problems though. If you have a 550 watt power supply in this Razer,
you'll just get another one and chuck it on it.
That's not how power works.
That's how power works.
You would have to go out and buy a bigger power supply. Which is the same thing you do right now, except you can buy it at Best Buy versus going to Razer's website or wherever it would be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. It's going to be more expensive. People building their own computers aren't going to want to do this anyway. You're going to want to play with the parts.
Yeah.
So I see this being maybe out of its time, maybe not even in this universe would have worked.
Yeah, I mean, I do like on the image, like the test image,
it looks cool.
It has really cool look, really cool lights, and it does have this little screen that allows you, I guess, to boot to certain operating. It looks like it's got Windows 8, Windows 7. And
yeah, like a little selector thing. Yeah,
and that's neat. We went to QuakeCon a while back, and we saw something like that built into the side of a case where it had essentially a monitor attached to the case.
Yeah.
And you would orient the case, and that'd be your second monitor. Really, really neat. But
now, speaking of Razer, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
All right, let's go with Razer. Something that I like they're doing is the Razer Naboo. Have you heard about this?
Is that the mouse?
No.
Is that the controller?
Neither. It's a bracelet. It's back to the wearable tech thing. It's their answer. Like, you have the Fitbit and the Pebble and all that. Razer made one, and it's just really cool.
Nice.
That's all I wanted to really say about
it. Awesome. Moving on with CES, the Mophi Space Pack. Now, I have an iPhone, and I currently... It's a good... I like the iPhone. The iPhone's a good device, in my opinion. But sometimes you need more battery power, and sometimes you need a case that kind of helps you and, you know, gives you some protection. And then even sometimes, like, I have a 16 gig version of the iPhone. I haven't run out of space, but I take that back. I have run out of space with Spotify. I synced up a lot of music, and it was like, you're out of space, Dave. And I'm like, no, dang it. So I had to delete some pictures. The Mophi Space Pack actually does all of those in one small little thing. It allows you to increase your battery, have a backup battery, and it has additional storage that you can sync to on the fly. And it's not much bigger than the iPhone itself. Really, really cool. Not super innovative, because they have things like this already, but really,
but it's
really
nice
cool
that Apple is getting an external storage device.
Right, right. You know,
because I'm actually waiting on my Mi Nova to come in.
Nice.
Yeah, I got one of these.
Awesome.
I think it's like $15 shipped, and it just allows you to put micro SD cards into your Nexus 7 or other Android device.
I got the
doesn't have a SD card.
I got
slot.
The USB OTG connector. I haven't used it once.
Hmm?
I just haven't used it at all.
I'll order the Mi Nova and a 64 gig card. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay. The Mophi Space Pack is going to be $150 for the 16 gig model and 32 gig model for $180. So,
man, I feel like I got a deal. Oh, it doesn't have a battery.
Yeah, that's the thing. It does have a juice pack built in. Pretty awesome, I think.
I think it's awesome, guys.
I think it's awesome, so it must be
awesome.
But yeah, so that was a lot of what happened at CES. I mean, was there anything else? I know Sony...
Oculus thing.
So, for those that don't know Oculus, they're doing this crazy VR thing, and now John Carmack is full over there, CEO.
Doing it.
Of doing it. John Carmack was pretty much the father of 3D games, like 3D first-person shooters, or I guess any first-person shooters. He's now overseeing full Oculus development, and they had a major breakthrough with, it's called Crystal Cove, right?
Yep.
Do you want to describe a little bit about Crystal Cove, or... I mean, is it sort of... The cool thing about it is that it looks a little different, right? It looks
a state park in California.
Right, thanks. So the Oculus Rift was this screen in front of your face that...
Two screens, in fact.
Well, okay, two screens in front of your face, one for each eye, and you had, like, goggles attached to it, so you only saw those screens. And it was really neat. You could pair it with a controller, and you could move, and it did some motion tracking, which was really cool. Crystal Cove changed the game up a little bit, and it put all of these sensor dots on the Oculus Rift. And now, via a separate camera, it can actually do full motion tracking with your head. It is something that's hard to describe. It's even hard to watch a video and understand it. You almost have to experience it.
Yeah, I've not experienced Oculus Rift yet. Talking to people that have, they just say you have to wear them. It's freaky.
I've tried the Oculus Rift once.
Have you?
And it's really, really awesome. It's something that I don't think I would want to use it as a 3D, a full-on 3D like VR simulation. However, mainly because I want games to support, like, I could lean my head and tilt and kind of side shift and sidestep, and it'll do that in the game. Crystal Cove does that. Crystal Cove allows you to be sort of like a stick, like a head on a stick. I think it's like
I always wanted to be a head on a stick.
It's a stick ball model. It's with things like when you can look down in like Crysis or pretty much anything in the Cry Engine, but some other games do it. You can look down and you can see your feet. That's you're a model on a stick. You're like a ball on a stick. You are the camera, and you can look down, and the stick is mounted in like I guess your spine, and you can see the game model.
I got a terrifying image now of just feet attached to a stick attached to a head.
With guns.
With guns.
So yeah, that's sort of what's going on. And they have these little dots that
terrifying.
Allow you, they allow you to shot side shift and side look and do this really, really cool stuff with it. And it's like
bottom line there, it's getting cooler.
Yeah, and
holodeck's on our way.
It's unofficial. I think it's unofficial at this point. But Valve said that they were going to be doing VR too.
I think Gabe just really likes these.
I want to say
he wants to do something.
Well, I want to say that they're actually in with the Oculus Rift. Like
I know Gabe has been seen many times with an Oculus Rift.
Right.
So he's probably talking to Carmack.
Yeah, I would expect that to be a thing if it isn't already. Again, I've heard rumors. I can't remember if they're rumors or actual like.
Yeah, well, I've heard rumors. Half-Life 3.
Well, yeah. The last thing we were probably going to talk about CES is the new Handycam from Sony. I just got a Handycam. It's the Canon Vixia. The review is up on the site. Please check that out. It's affordable. It's great. A lot of the experience point stuff is going to be coming with it. This Handycam from Sony blows it out of the water. For about 10 times the price, though.
That sounds like Sony.
Yeah, it's the FDR AX100. Pretty awesome. $2,000. It's very, I guess it's affordable.
It's actually, I mean, when you start talking about cameras, that's cheap. That's dirt.
Well,
I mean, look at a Red.
Consider,
like a Red Dragon or something?
Consider this. It's a 4K camcorder. So you can generate content for 4K using this camcorder.
Yeah.
And then watch
Which,
it.
I mean,
and then upload it to
I'm
YouTube.
I'm not knocking it yet because I haven't played with it. And then upload it to YouTube and not watch it in 4K.
It's got built-in Wi-Fi and NFC. It allows you.
That's a big thing. I miss every camera now has NFC in it.
Yeah, it allows you to push, your footage without syncing it up like via the SD card in your thing or connecting a cable. You can send it wirelessly.
Yeah, and something else that tends to do is they'll let you use your tablet or something as a control device for the camera.
Yes,
and I actually have a Panasonic that does that.
That's
something amazing.
It's pretty crazy. Whenever you have like, I thought my DSLR, my Nikon D3100 was a pretty nice DSLR. Turns out it's like the entry lowest level. Any lower than that DSLR, you have like a point and shoot. You know, and it doesn't allow me to like connect a button to fire off the camera or whatever. The next version up, the D5200, I think, super nice, does all of that, allows you to connect microphones and all this stuff to it. Fantastic, blew my mind. I went and I tried it out. Really, really awesome. The fact that they are building and it's got Wi-Fi built in. The fact that you can use your iPhone as a controller. The fact that in this case, you know, for this the AX100, you'll be able to potentially use your tablet, like our Android tablets, or a phone to control it. Really, really awesome.
Yeah, like I said, my Panasonic Lumix rugged camera.
Yeah,
dude, you can take your camera, throw it in the lake, and just watch it fall on your
awesome.
Tablet.
Yeah, no,
and you can do that with that camera. That's what's cool.
That was CES. We're going to go ahead and cut to another song.
Didn't you feel like you were really at CES, guys?
I feel like I was at CES.
I mean, yeah, just like it.
It was
awesome. Is that Gabe over there?
Oh, he's walking away.
Oh, he is talking to Carmack.
He's holding up three fingers. three fingers?
You know what that means.
Half-Life 3.
Confirmed.
BFG edition. So we're going to go ahead and play a song. This is, what song are we going to play?
What are we song
Let's play. We're going to go ahead and say it's I'll Form the Head by MC Frontalot. I'm on an MC Frontalot kick.
Man,
honestly.
All about the MC Frontalot.
I'll Form the Head by MC Frontalot. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Experience Points.
I'm sorry.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was All Form the Head by MC Frontalot. I really love me some MC Frontalot. He is like the nerdiest of the nerd, but you know what? I can't get enough of it. Like I was jamming out on the Spotify track. I made a Spotify track of nothing but MC Frontalot, and it was like,
I don't blame you.
I was like, make this a radio station, and it just kept on playing MC Frontalot. Every now and then it would show throw in MC Lars, and I really enjoy it. We are going to talk about some video game releases. Some games that have been released, what we thought of them, and some games that are releasing and what we think of them.
We think of them. Maybe we'll get something on the next-gen consoles.
What we think we'll think of them. Oh, no, there's some stuff on the next-gen consoles.
Yay!
Let's roll back to a week or two ago. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Awesome!
For the PC.
Awesome.
I played this with bated breath.
Awesome.
I have a feeling Red Bear thinks that this is awesome.
I kind of like it.
I don't.
Matt doesn't look like he likes it as much as me.
I can't. I can describe it, but it doesn't feel like it's not the same type of game. I get that it's not
the
same type
of game. It's a more manly version of Bayonetta.
Yes. No. That's exactly it.
Cyborg who jumps around and hacks and slashes
it's
people.
It's a hack and slash game.
And they explode and rip their spines and awesome.
I feel like the problem is they tried to cram this super mega overarching story. It's the same reason I didn't like the original Devil May Cry's.
You're dumb?
Yeah, I was just a bad gamer. I have bad opinions.
Your opinions are bad and you should feel bad.
I feel like this really is more of a Capcom type game, and everyone knows what I mean. I hope when I say that, you know,
I'll give you that.
It's ridiculous upon ridiculous.
It's like you hit the point of ridiculousness, and you pass it by at least 20%.
You blow past it. I like Metal Gear Solid, and I am.
That's why you don't like this game, man.
Yeah, it's like it hurts my soul. Like I feel.
Did you not like dressing up as a Mexican?
I haven't even gotten that far yet.
Oh, spoilers, everyone. You dress up as a Mexican. It's amazing.
Apparently, I dress up like a Mexican at some point. That came out on the 9th of January. It's out now on Steam.
You say on the 9th of January. That's another problem with PCs. This has been on the consoles for like a year.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
But they had to perfect it before we got a hold of it.
Right. Hopefully I can mod it so that it's a good game. That's how I feel about it.
What are you going to do, throw more textures at it?
Maybe.
You think that'll make it better for you, Matt?
Moving on. On PC and PS3, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation HD came out on the 15th of January. This was an HD update.
More textures on it, guys!
Well, this was originally a mobile game. This is for PS Vita. And they were like,
and they threw textures at it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We should put it on PC and PS3. It's in New Orleans. Really cool, like revolutionary era in New Orleans. You're a female assassin. Pretty cool. It is not bad, but I feel like it's the downfall. It starts the downfall of the Assassin's Creed series, and it's a continuation with Black Flag, which I feel it fits. It's fitting, at least right now, as I'm playing it.
I think the best description for Black Flag is a fun pirate game.
It's not necessarily a bad Assassin's Creed. Originally, I said that, but as I'm playing through it...
I think you did.
I definitely said that.
Definitely.
As I'm playing it, I feel that it's not that bad of an Assassin's Creed game. It's just a completely different type of Assassin's Creed game. And stuff that they experimented with in Assassin's Creed Revelations and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, that, you know, it just works differently. But it's not necessarily bad. But that came out on the 15th. I've played a little bit of it, and honestly, it's just like Black Flag. It's an Assassin's Creed game. It's a decent platformer, and you know, nothing bad can be said about the decent platformer. Every now and then, you know, like any game, you'll do something, and it will do the exact opposite. Like it will freak out and go one other way.
It's because it's ported from a mobile platform.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's the problem with porting.
5 days from now. We're gonna see next gen content. Next gen content, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition.
Oh, that's not next gen content.
I mean, it's for PS4 and Xbox One.
You put it on the console, it doesn't make it next gen.
It's gonna have better textures. And it's gonna have better hair. So that's gonna happen.
So instead of actually making anything new, we're just gonna throw more textures on things.
That's pretty much it.
I'm sad.
I'll grab that and I'll test out how good or how bad it is. But I mean, I imagine it'll look as good as it does
on higher definition textures.
Yeah, it'll look
and
just
probably
like PC.
Super flaily hair.
Yeah.
I hope.
Again, like I look at the side by side. Now they did do some stuff. They did do, it's called subskin or subsurface scattering.
Subskin? I'm scared.
Well, it makes sense whenever I describe it. So they took the lighting profiles and the lighting protocols and they completely redid them. So when the light hits Lara's skin, it actually changes how the skin looks. Like there's a glow. Like
can she get a sunburn?
No, but she can start sweating. That's the crazy thing.
Cool.
Like you can put glistening effects when she's in, you know, a thing. There's
smoke
effects.
Don't tell these nerds that.
Oh yeah,
stop, man.
That's not for PC yet. I mean, it already is for PC, but I guess they can patch that in.
Oh, you can mod it.
That's 5 days from now. 12 days from now, and this is really crazy because I'm about to say something, I'm not going to understand it.
They're releasing, we never understand what you
they're
say.
They're releasing Fable Anniversary, which is Fable 1, right, for the Xbox 360.
It's, wait, it, wait, what?
Fable Anniversary.
So a new Fable, the old Fable.
It's the old Fable.
On an old system.
On a new system. Well, on the previous gen system, yes.
Yeah.
Then, the same day they're releasing Fable Trilogy, which is Fable 1 Anniversary, Fable 2, and Fable 3 on Xbox 360. So
why are they releasing content for the previous generation?
Because it's...
Okay, it's not new content again.
Not everyone has Xbox Ones or PS4s. In fact, I think we've recommended don't get one.
Yeah.
Yet.
But I mean, do you already have Fable and stuff if you wanted it?
I guess. Well, yeah, you don't have Fable 1. Fable 1 is an Xbox game. Xbox original.
Yeah. You can't say Xbox One. Huh?
Yeah, well... I don't know. I hate Fable. I don't like...
I'm not into Fable. I'll like be honest. We're going to be haters right now.
I don't
now.
Like the choice system. I don't like Peter Molyneux or Lionhead Studio. I'm completely biased.
That's a hater.
19 days from now, on PC, PS3, and Xbox 360, we get Far Cry The Wild Expedition. Far Cry The Wild Expedition is Far Cry 1, 2, and 3.
With better textures, right? Tell me I'm right.
I'm not
better
sure.
Textures.
I'm not sure if it's with better textures or not.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I liked Far Cry 1. I liked Far Cry 2 as a tech demo. I didn't get into the story. I didn't care. Far Cry 1 was really cool because you had like cyborg, crazy science experiments gone wrong.
Far Cry 2, is that the one where you were like in Africa?
Yeah. You have get malaria.
Yeah, you get malaria instantly.
Yeah, and then
because it's the reason I will never go to Africa.
Right. You go to Africa and there's hang gliders, I think.
Yeah, there's hang gliders. There's hang gliders laying around everywhere for
you
no
can
reason.
Set fire to the world.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And it will
the
just
way.
Burn forever.
And you can fix anything by turning one wrench.
Yeah, there's like one lug
awesome.
In every vehicle. I'm not sure if you know
I've got to find it in my truck. I haven't found that lug yet.
It'll save you so much
on the day I do, I'm never going to mechanic again.
You know what? I feel like if you haven't played Far Cry 1, 2, or 3, or if you don't own, maybe if you played it, but you don't own it yet, this would be a good kind of all-in-one package, for you. But I don't think Far Cry 1's going to look much better. And I can't say that Far Cry 2 looked bad, though I'm remembering it from a few years back. So maybe it'll look a little bit better. Which is pretty crazy. Got, Lightning, that's 19 days from now. On the 11th of February.
Something to look forward to, guys.
We got 21 More days from now on the 13th the of February. We've got Lightning Returns, Final Fantasy, and there's a ton of Roman numerals. I think it's 13. now, this is kind of
Final Fantasy 30,000?
This is getting slightly better than average scores, like 5.9 out of 10. Final Fantasy's changed lately. This is coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360. Final Fantasy's sort of changed lately, where it's not what you remember with Final Fantasy. It's evolved, but evolved is sort of just a different word for changed.
That is a true story, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm glad you took biology that one time.
So I don't know. I'm probably not going to play Lightning Returns. Honestly, I didn't play Final Fantasy 13. The last Final Fantasy game I actually really played was 12, and I enjoyed 12 because it was good, in my opinion. They had the Gambit system. You could play it and go make a sandwich, and it would play itself. It's really awesome.
You don't even have to play the game. That's how... The game is.
29 days from now, Rambo the video game.
Whoa, wait, you just blew my mind.
Rambo for
Hold
PC.
Hold on, I'm not ready yet. Stop talking. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
For PC, PS3, and Xbox 360, Rambo the video game. Have you ever wanted to play Rambo, Red Bear?
I have played Rambo and got arrested.
Yep, so you can do it without getting arrested or incarcerated this
yes,
time.
This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be pretty
It's great. All the fun without the bloodshed or prison record.
There you go. Alongside next-gen content, 33 days from now, we got Rayman Legends for Xbox One and PS4. Again,
wait. The first title you mentioned for an actual next-gen console is Rayman.
Well, I think Rayman Legends already exists.
Better textures.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you can get better textures. It's a cartoony, animated, side-scrolling action-adventure platformer.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we've been telling you is for at least the next month, nothing is coming out.
Well, no, here we go. So, there is a new game coming out for Xbox One and PS4.
Not new textures.
It is coming out for
not
PC.
Not Lara Croft can sweat.
I mean, she can sweat all day long if she wants.
Stop.
I'm just saying that
model. Do we have an actual game?
Yes, Thief. It's a remake. But
that's not an actual game. That's been out.
Well, has it been out? Thief?
Thief, yeah.
The new Thief.
The new Thief isn't out.
Yeah, it's coming
you're talking
out
about
33
it.
Days from now on the 25th.
Is it not a remake of Thief?
It is a remake, but...
See, you just said it's a remake. It's not new.
I mean, it's not like... Oh, anyway, Thief is coming out for PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Probably with better textures.
Well, I mean...
I'm just going to assume that at this point, Matt.
If you're really interested, though, this thing, for PC...
For PC...
February
28th. We get new content all the time.
36. This is so new. It's Resident Evil 4 Ultimate Edition. So if you
I'm about to quit, man. I'm about to walk out of the studio.
If you really liked Resident Evil 4.
Which one? Was that the one with the racist zombie, with the racism?
No, that was 5.
That was 5.
Where you showed up when everyone was black and they were had chainsaws and pitchforks and guns.
Yeah, racism.
No, the fourth Resident one Evil is edition. You're in the woods and all of a sudden all of these villagers are like, we've got the president's daughter. We're zombies.
So we're zombies, guys.
So, and we're almost done. Like, we're almost done with the immediate.
With nothing new.
Because we're getting like 40 days out now. Titanfall.
That is new. That's new. It's going to release.
Yes.
Thank God.
Titanfall is releasing on
Xbox
360.
There'll be a reason to get an
Xbox. Xbox 360, PC, and Xbox One.
Never mind. There's no reason to get an Xbox One.
On the 11th of March. That's 47 days.
I'm dying here.
We got a couple weeks to wait for real next gen content.
And even then, you can get it on. You said the 360.
Yeah, you can get it on PC. Yeah.
So why?
And PC.
Why would you buy a next gen console?
Though I think you have to get through Origin, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wait. Whoa, I guess that's weird.
Yeah, I know, right? And then following it out, 54 days from now, Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes. I'm pretty excited about that.
You're gonna hate it,
and that's for like everything. It's for like Xbox One, PS4, Xbox 360, PS3.
Your toaster,
the toaster, the refrigerator. Those are, and it just gets pushed out more and more and more. So we do have Infamous Second Son though in 57 days. That's legitimate exclusive next gen content.
Next gen.
It's sad that we have to wait till March though. We have to wait till March to get that.
I mean, that's like 5 years away.
Well, I mean, you know, it's more like 53 days away, but we're gonna cut to a song and then come back and end the show out. This is The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by The Megas. I've been MG.
And I've been Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points, but not for much longer. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was The Annihilation of Monsteropolis by The Megas. We're out of time, but before we leave, please check out the website. The website is, Red Bear?
ExpPoints.com.
That's ExpPoints.com.
Always
love it.
Two P's.
Two P's. Can't stress it.
Come on.
We do have a Facebook page, though, if you can't spell ExpPoints. Hopefully,
because you can do much better with this one,
Facebook.com/ExperiencePoints. Again, if you can't spell Experience Points, there's these dictionary things. You can just try your best
in Google. That makes no sense, you devil person.
I mean, they tell you how to spell in Google.
And Google will work. Anyway, dictionaries will not. You have to know how to spell to use a dictionary.
Check that out. We have all of the radio shows without the audio. With the audio.
Without the audio. It's awesome. Go check them out.
Without the music.
Check them out.
Again, we have to take the music out.
Lawyers.
Just some pretty cool stuff. Yeah, the lawyers. It's expensive to have music freely available online that's not yours. It's also illegal. Super illegal.
It's also illegal.
Like
Rambo.
We have some pretty cool stuff coming up with Experience Points.
Ooh, that's the next planking.
As the what?
Ramboing is kind of the next planking.
Oh yeah. Okay. We got some pretty crazy stuff happening with Experience Points as a platform. So Experience Points, the radio show, is just what we do here at KSLU. Experience Points online, exppoints.com.
Go to the site, people.
That's the platform. We explain it all. We have more podcasts, Red Bear original content, MG original content, collaborative content, and we're working on getting more people involved.
More content.
More content. More
with HD textures.
Mo content, mo beta.
Mo beta.
Mo
Much
textures.
Mo beta.
We're going to leave you with Nerdfolia's cover of Get on My Horse. It was
amazing.
I can't remember who created this song.
It was from the internet.
It was on the internet a while back and like wobbly or something. And it's a pretty fun song, so turn up your speakers.
Citation needed.
Yeah, it's a fun song.
It's awesome. Blast your neighbors out with this one.
It'll be great.
They'll love you forever.
Don't start a riot. I've been MG.
I've been Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Look at my horse. My horse is amazing. Get on my horse.
Good enough.